All right. Next up, off the place here, 13, we have a briefing item on in-stream flows. Kevin?
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Kevin Mays, and I'm an aquatic biologist with the Inland Fisheries Division. I am the technical lead on the development and implementation of the Texas In-Stream Flow Program for the department. And I'd like to give a thanks to all of the staff that have worked with that and all the support from the commissioners and Mr. Cook, Mr. Grosher, and Dr. McKinney. Senate Bill 2. Was passed in 2001, and it required the department and TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and the Water Development Board to work together to maintain an in-stream flow evaluation program, to develop the methodologies, the science, the engineering that would go into those studies, and to conduct studies on priority river segments by the year December 31 of 2010. So some of the interagency accomplishments since that time is that we developed a interagency MOA in 2002, which describes how the agencies would work together on this, and we developed another document called the Programmatic Work Plan, and that describes where and when we would do those studies and provide some of the basic approaches that we were going to use. This map illustrates the priority segments that the three agencies agreed upon. And over the last few years, our focus has been on the Sabine, the Brazos, and the San Antonio rivers. We've been working with the other agencies as well as those river authorities in getting study plans developed for those systems. We've also developed a technical overview, another document that describes in details the science and the engineering approaches to these comprehensive, multidisciplinary field studies. With the support of the commissioners, the state contracted with the National Academy of Science in July of 2003 to review the science and engineering of those studies that we had proposed. They formed a committee which comprised the scientists and engineers, mostly from academia, but well represented by Texas participants. During that process, there were three public meetings in Texas. It provided opportunities for stakeholders and cooperators and the public to provide input and to participate in that process. So about 20 months later, the science of in-stream flows, a review of the Texas In-Stream Flow Program, was published by the Academy's National Research Council. It's about 150 pages, and I believe most of y'all should have a copy of that book, but I can get you one for sure if you don't. It was mainly focused upon our Texas In-Stream Flow Program, the documents that we had drafted for their review, but it'll have broad appeal to all in-stream flow practitioners around the world. One of the key NAS findings was that the program that we had proposed was state-of-the-art. The program includes all of the principles of a state-of-the-art program, and to quote from the book, the state of Texas shows an impressive commitment to designing and implementing an in-stream flow program, and that the agencies are commended for proposing a prospective, comprehensive in-stream flow program that will have enormous benefits to the state over the next several decades and beyond. The committee also provided some recommendations to help improve on our program, and I'll highlight some of those today. They suggested that we provide two levels of oversight, one at the statewide level and one at the sub-basin level. And basically, I think, you know, we kind of had that framework in there. We just need to highlight it more clearly. While it's important to recognize the differences between river systems, like this is the Guadalupe River and the Sabine River on the right, it's also just as important to recognize that there's differences in stakeholders in the environmental setting. And so we need to have a program that can accommodate those differences and that we're consistent at the statewide level but flexible enough to deal with the individual river basins. In other words, one size doesn't fit all. We need to be flexible. We needed to clearly define sound ecological environment. In the Senate Bill 2 language, they set out the goal that we need to identify the flow conditions to maintain a sound ecological environment. Well, they didn't provide the definition, and that's okay. They left it up to the scientists to do that. And so we provided a definition. The three agencies have proposed this definition here, which is can be used as a statewide goal to meet that the legislative mandate of a sound ecological environment, but then sub-basin study goals can flow from that. This particular definition has roots in the Clean Water Act, which has stood the test of time. And here we're talking about an ecosystem that can rebound from impact, whether it is a natural or man-made impact. It also states that a sound ecological environment will have its expected assembly of native organisms, which is important from our Fish and Wildlife and Department perspective. The third recommendation is to better define the stakeholder process. Although the agencies have done a number of stakeholder-directed actions, such as maintaining a program website, we've held initial stakeholder meetings in each of the basins, and we've had a number of technical workshops, we recognize the need to have a well-planned process. And not only did the National Academy of Science, recommend that, but the Science Advisory Committee of the Environmental Flows Advisory Committee stated that. And then, of course, the state recognizes that from many of the studies that we've done in the past, that it's important to have stakeholder buy-in up front. And so we formed an interagency stakeholder team to draft a comprehensive approach who developed this goal statement. This is on the boards now for review. But basically, we want to build trust in the science so that study results are considered valid, credible, and usable by not only the agencies, but others, the stakeholders, the public, other federal agencies, the river authorities. There's a wide range of stakeholders that are interested in the outcome of these types. So it's important that we be open and transparent as we move forward with this program. The fourth one is to incorporate four natural flow components. And this one specifically deals with one of the principles of the state-of-the-art in-stream flow program, which is to mimic the natural flow regime. And I'm sure many of you have seen as you drive around the state and go over different bridges that you might have your favorite river where one time you go over it and it's a very low flow, it's almost dry or it might be dry, and some other time you go over it you think it might be fixing across, or come up over the bridge side. Well, that's what we're talking about. That full range of flows that are available in a river are important to maintaining a sound ecological environment. I'm going to touch on each one of the flow components. The first one is called subsistence flow, These are stream flows needed during critical drought periods or during dry times that allow water quality to be maintained so it doesn't get too hot and fish or other invertebrates die, that there's sufficient dissolved oxygen in the water. But it also provides some aquatic habitat so that fish and wildlife can live. Phase flow is the normal flow conditions that occur in rivers and streams in between storms. These are the normal flows. They provide adequate habitat to support diverse aquatic communities. And this is when most systems are most productive and habitats are most diverse. High flow pulses are associated or short duration high flows, usually associated with a storm event that provides rainfall to the system. But these high flows remain within the channel. They maintain channel features and they restore water quality after long droughts, or they provide the ability for fish to move up and down the river system. The fourth one is what's termed overbanking flows. These are infrequent high flow events that actually exceed the channel. They can perform important functions such as moving a lot of sediment, reshaping the channel, and they support riparian areas such as hardwood bottomlands, and they provide that lateral connection out to the floodplain. So when we put these flow components together, we end up with a flow regime that identifies the flow conditions needed to meet our study goals and a sound ecological environment. So it's important that each of these flow components be identified, because each of them are important in maintaining our ecosystems. Okay, so since the review was posted, we have revised the technical overview, that document that describes the science and engineering, and we ran that out into the public and started receiving feedback. We decided to hold technical workshops, one in San Antonio, one in Dallas, this last summer, to receive input not only on the science and engineering, but also what stakeholders think we ought to be doing during our stakeholder process. Lastly, though we've made significant progress on the statewide program, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in the field and gathering information. We've got a lot of planning to do to get these studies really rolling. And some of the things we've been working on with the river authorities and with the Water Development Board and TCEQ are like literature and historical data compilation. We've been gathering what existing information is out there, so we have a good handle on that. We've been analyzing that historical data. We've been doing mussel surveys in those river systems and looking at the geomorphology of the river, the channel shape, the sediment supply, those types of things. We've done quite a bit of field reconnaissance, whether it be drive, windshield surveys, going to all the bridge crossings, and a lot of boating efforts. For example, we did about 150 miles on the Sabine River over 3 days, and that was from Toledo Bend down to I-10. Took 3 days for us. And we've recently, during this last summer, we've worked with the river authorities and the other agencies on some baseline fish sampling to try and get a handle on what the current status is in those systems. In summary, I'd like to say that, for the last couple of decades, the department and other agencies in the state have been conducting in-stream flow studies on many rivers and streams around the state. And each agency has its own interpretation on the results and or how they do the study. So we end up usually with maybe two or three different answers that maybe don't agree with each other. But Senate Bill 2 provided us the opportunity for all of the agencies to consolidate its efforts, you know, to maximize its resources, to bring the experts together and have a good multidisciplinary program. And we've made significant progress in working together to develop the program to the state it's at now. We sought a first-class peer review with the National Academy of Science, and we've gathered substantial stakeholder input. We are in the planning stages of several of these studies, but we and the other agencies are concerned whether or not we'll be able to meet the deadline of 2010. And, you know, some things have happened that were unanticipated. We didn't plan to do the NAS review, but I don't think anybody would argue that it wasn't a good idea and that we got a good product and that it's going to really benefit our program that we, you know, took the effort to do that. So I conclude with that thought there. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to address them.
Kim, for those of you who weren't here back in 2003, the National Academy of Sciences study was very helpful and frankly giving us the credibility we needed of not grading our own paper. And we have our former chairman, Catherine Armstrong, to thank for getting that done. She has literally picked up the phone and called a friend in Washington and got the National Academy of Sciences to look favorably at our request that they review it. And so we've got real third-party, you know, review by the gold standard of scientific review on what we're doing. When they say state-of-the-art, that's not us saying that. So and the recommendations also, no pun intended, flowed into the work we did on the environmental flows, and Kevin, thanks for your work, because you're putting the meat on the bones of what we just talked about in policy. You actually take that and go out there and do something with it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just one question.
Yes, sir.
You said you may not make it by 2010. Are you worried about that? What do you mean exactly?
Well, right now we have identified five river segments. The Sabine River, the Trinity River, two segments on the Brazos, actually, the Guadalupe River and the San Antonio River. So we've got these segments identified as being the state's priority study areas. And those studies generally take 3 to 5 years to go collect all of the data, do the analysis, seek stakeholder input during that time frame, and produce the results, send those out with you for peer review, make those edits, and get the in-stream flows identified and out into a report. And so we have those studies that we don't think we'll be able to complete all of those studies by the year 2010. And that's not just Parks and Wildlife thinking, it's the other agencies as well.
Water Development Board.
And that mandate came from the date came from the legislature. I mean,
yes.
What is it, 2010?
Oh, okay. 2010.
That's okay.
Yeah. There will be another water bill this session.
Yeah,
I think that issue
of be part
the funding and the timeline is going to be addressed, which is the perfect segue to our next presentation. Kevin, thanks.
Thank you
so much for your work. Yeah.
I'd like to. The whole question is a good question, and part of this I have to share with you is this allocation of resources that we have been dealing with over the last three sessions of 5% cut, 7% cut, 5% cut, and in this LAR, a 10% cut. You will not make some of these deadlines that we're having in spite of those numbers. And it applies to this area. We've got some young people who are incredibly talented, incredibly dedicated, highly professional, but we have a limited number of them, and we'll do everything we can on those key focus areas, and I think we'll accomplish a lot, but I don't think we'll be full deadline on something. We'll try.
I mean, as I said, that's the segue to our